Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the God of Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my guy, my brother from another mother, Phil, all caps. How you doing, my guy?
Bro, I'm good, man. Like, it's one of those things, bro, where it's like you hope and you pray to see something like this, you know, as a Knicks fan. And I've been waiting since I was a kid. You know, in the 90s, you know, this is the most excited I've been, you know, since then, since the Starks era, since the Ewing era. This is the most excited I've been as a Knicks fan. And I know a lot of people talk about like the mellow days and stuff like that. And I love those days. You know, it's the first 50 game winning season we've had since 2013. Mm-hmm. But the difference is I feel like this team has a greater chance, and the players that are around Brunson are a lot more suitable for pursuing Eastern Conference or a championship than the players that were around Melo. Like, I feel like this team is built significantly better. And so I'm excited, man. I'm pumped. What about you, bro?
Man, I'm excited, man. It's this one feels a little bit different. Like, this obviously isn't our first playoff appearance. But this one just feels a little bit different, man. You got Brunson, who's just on a tear right now. And more than anything, the team is actually built correctly around the star for the first time that we've ever seen. You know what I mean? I mean, since Pat. You know what I mean? Melo was here. Like you mentioned, the Melo days, it was really, really great. And for that 1 year, they properly built around Melo with all his needs. But it wasn't sustainable. A lot of those guys were on their last leg, you know what I mean? Or last legs.
Yeah, exactly. Last knees.
last elbow, everything. It's just, you know what I mean? They you know, you knew that team wasn't going to be able to last long. You just were like, let's just hold it together for as long as you could. This is something sustainable, man. These guys are in their, you know, entering their prime. A lot of these guys, they already have the chemistry from college. You know what I mean? And they also, with the chemistry that they've built in this locker room with guys like you mentioned earlier, Precious and OG and just, you know, Hartenstein, like this team just really gets it. You know what I mean? And personally, I just feel like at some point you really got to start having that question of how far can this team really go and not just limit it to the first or second round. Like, I think this is at minimum an Eastern Conference Finals team if everyone can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that's minimum. You know what I mean? I don't want to go crazy and say we're winning a championship, but listen, entering the finals is something we can actually talk about now. Based off of what we've seen and how this team responds, I'm not sitting here saying we're going to win a championship. But getting out of the Eastern Conference Finals is something you can talk about with the way this team is constructed.
So here's the thing, bro, is like, I understand jumping out the window when you're far from the target, you know? Right. Like, there's one of those things where you see, like, movies where someone, like, jumps out of something, and it's like, oh, they were never going to hit the water, you know, or they were never going to hit the grass, you know? They were nowhere close jumping off that train, you know? And in those moments, you're like, you shouldn't have done that. That was stupid, you know? More harm than good by doing that.
Facts.
However, I don't feel like that's where we're at, you know? I don't feel like us jumping out of this plane or us jumping off this train is far from where we want to land. Right. And what I mean is, like, if you look at it, I don't care what any Celtic fan says. I don't care what Missoula says or any of these trolls. Do not tell me the Celtics did not try in that last game.
Yeah, don't tell me that.
Like, do not tell me that, because first of all, you've already had that first spot clinched. There was no reason any of your guys should have played then if you did not care about that game.
Exactly.
Second of all, those guys rested in previous games prior to ours. Why? Because everyone likes to rest to then try to make a statement going up against this New York Knicks team.
Right.
So you sit your guys, you then play them against us. We school you. First of all, don't tell me you didn't try when Jaylen Brown's getting destroyed by Jalen Brunson, so you throw Tatum on him.
Right.
Tatum's getting destroyed, so you throw Drew Holiday on him. Now Derek White's on him. Now Kristaps is trying to. You know, so all of your guys tried to guard Jalen Brunson and got destroyed. Don't tell me you're not trying. If you weren't trying, you would have just let him cook Jaylen Brown for the whole game and moved along. There's no reason to switch it up and try to stop him if you didn't care. So,
yeah.
Trying. So, for me, it's not crazy to talk Eastern Conference Championship. Like, because I do believe that we can contend now that we have OG back, because I said it before, without OG or Randle, there's no way we could have contended. But with OG and Randle and the way these guys are currently playing, I can't see us going seven games with the Celtics and pulling it out. Does that mean it's going to happen? No. But if we beat the Celtics, why not championship? Why not us? Like my guy Sean says, you know, why not us? Because if you look, the Celtics have been leaps and bounds the best team in the NBA this year. So if we beat the best team in the NBA in a seven-game series, why would I then be worried about the West Coast, you know? So if we get to Eastern Conference and we can beat the Celtics, if it's the Celtics that's there, they might flop, you know? You never know. We beat whoever in the Eastern Conference, then it's done to me. Like, let's bring it home. So I have faith in these guys, especially after what we've seen these last, like, 2 weeks. I got faith in these guys.
Well, to match with your point with the going back to the Celtics, don't tell me you know the quote of we were highly desperate team, you know what I mean? And like, come on, bro, like don't go there, because like you said, you rested your guys all those other games.
Yep.
You played all five of your starters versus us, and then you proceed to run a full court press on Jalen Brunson and tell us that you didn't care about that game. I don't care what you say, man. That's a load of bullshit, and that's probably the reason why you guys get close and never get over that hump every single year, because it's just delusion. It's delusion.
And what are we like? What I don't understand. Like, what are we desperate for?
Right.
Like, we are contending for the spot right below yours. Mm-hmm. You know, like if we were playing for a play-in spot, you know, and we were trying to stay alive, and we needed that game to be in the play-in. Right. For sure, say that we're desperate, but there's nothing desperate about us. We have arguably the best player in the Eastern Conference leading our team right now. You know, like,
talk about it.
Announcers are asking, like, if you look at this and you look how Giannis and Dame have kind of been dropping the ball, like, does this make the conversation of maybe it's not Giannis best in the Eastern Conference right now?
Right.
Maybe it is Jalen Brunson, you know? So what are we desperate for? Like, what are we desperate for? That doesn't make any sense, you know? So shout out to everyone in the chat. I see my guy Eddie, especially up in there.
Yeah,
appreciate you, guy.
Let's show some love to the chat. We got my guy, Raul, RBL Basketball Year. What's going on, family year? How you doing? Salute to you. Got caught up by the brim there real quick. He said, your best path to the Eastern Conference Finals is versus the Celtics. Listen, man, it's inevitable at this point. Let's be real. The way the Celtics can drop the ball, and we've seen them drop the ball, we got to make sure that they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not good enough, but we've seen them. And shout out to Jonathan Macri. I was listening to Knicks Film School the other day, and he mentioned how the Celtics are the kind of team that once they get punched in the mouth, they just back away. They don't really fight for it in a way.
Yeah.
Just like in the game versus us, they say, oh, they let go of the rope. Well, they got let go. They let go of the rope after they got punched in the mouth. That's really what happened. And that's, they've shown to do that time and time again. But I hope they do make it there. Because I don't want any excuses. Who wouldn't want to see Boston versus New York in the Eastern Conference Finals at this point again? I'd love to see that. And that's definitely something that I'm hoping happens. You know what I mean? Especially because I feel like last year we were a few hurt ankles and things away from seeing the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. So at this point, you know, adding OG, man, which I think the addition of this guy OG is just ridiculous. On both ends of the floor, he just, even on the offensive end, I know he gets a lot of credit for defense, But on the offense, he's just as good as the Villanova guys, as everyone else, as Isaiah, as of creating and moving into the right spot and being good for just, you know, spreading the ball around. He's not a ball hog. When he gets it, he can be aggressive with the ball. We've seen him now recently be a little bit more aggressive because he realizes that, listen, you don't really have anybody else there that can do that. So I do appreciate everything he's trying to do on the offensive end, but just defensively, man, getting in the passing lanes, guarding the best guy. You've seen the defense on DeRozan today. It's just having a guy there to defend those guys in those tough shots, and that's what I can't wait to see him against the Celtics. You know what I mean? Do that kind of thing.
And here's the thing is, if you look, the Celtics, their next round to me is a certified W. You know, like, let's be honest. You know, it's either going to be the Bulls or the Hawks, you know, and whatever. Maybe a miracle happens and DeJounte could put up 35 to 40 a night, and they get lucky and win, you know. I don't see that being a test for them. You know, I think the second round might be one of those where they can flop. You know, you have either the Cavs or the Magic, you know, and the Cavs, they have something to prove, you know, from last year. And when it comes to, you know, Orlando, they're young, you know, but they're physical, you know, and they're physical. And I feel like their physicality can end up being a factor on guys like Jaylen Brown, who really, you know, to me, it's weird because it's like, defensively, he reminds me of an Evan Fournier, you know, but he's got a bag, you know, like he's the only person I've ever seen walk away with that much money that doesn't know how to spell the word defense. But so I feel like that would be their hardest matchup. But when you're talking about OG, here's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, he's got so much to prove, so much. Listen, 19-3 since he's been in the lineup. To me,
20-3 after tonight.
No, to me, he's got nothing really to prove. You know, like he's proven it. When he's available, when he's healthy, he is a difference maker. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. He is a difference maker when he is available.
Right.
Offensively, he can have games like he did last night, which was in two nights ago, which was insane. Three after three after three, just killing it. Tonight, a little bit rough, you know, when it came to some offensive stuff. Not horrible, but defensively, like that last shot that DeMar DeRozan tried to put up, typically that's a 9 out of 10 hit for DeMar DeRozan.
He was making it all game,
That's something. So he locked him down on that play. Luckily, Dante DiVincenzo came in on the side and made it even tougher for DeMar DeRozan. But OG is a difference maker. Like, we can't take that away from him. And I feel like as long as we have OG playing defense, we can contend with anybody. I hope Mitchell Robinson is okay. You know, whatever happened, that's a little crazy. I don't know what's going on. But his defense is definitely needed, especially against a team like Boston.
And you're gonna need every man for Boston, because all whatever 8-9 guys in their rotation, they're going to go at it every single night. You know what I mean? And it's going to be hard. They properly built around their team, around their star, and it's going to be a tough game, but you're going to need guys like Mitch to come in and help out Hartenstein. Hartenstein's been, he's just been amazing, man. I really love the addition of Hartenstein. Just his passing is so underrated. I mean, people are starting to talk about it now, finally, but we've been seeing it since last year. He just knows how to find the cutter. He puts the ball in the right spot. And on defense, you know, he's how many times did he block? Was it Vucevic tonight? Was that? It's come on, man. Like he doesn't care who it is. He doesn't care who it is. He's gonna take the challenge. And you know, you got to have guys like that. But like you said, you got to have Mitchell Robinson there and ready. I don't know. It's, to me, I don't really see. Now, who would we be playing in the first round? It would be either Miami or the Sixers. Personally, let me get your take. You said you would rather have Miami in that first round over the Sixers?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, I think personally, the only reason why I don't want to see Miami in the first round is because I just want to see a healthy round. And that's because I feel like they're going to, I don't have a doubt in my mind that we're going to beat Miami. Don't take it that way. But personally, I just feel like they are the dirtiest team in the Eastern Conference. And they will try to take somebody out on their way out. Mitch, I'm worried about Mitch. I'm worried about guys like OG, the guys, you know, I'm just worried about those kind of guys because of the type of team that they are. They're just a dirty team.
And I agree. Me and my wife, we were driving. You know, she's not huge, you know, when it comes to sports and whatnot. But she tries, you know, to just ask the questions and know why I want certain things to happen. And she was like, are they a, you know, like, sketchy team? And I was like, oh yeah, you know, they play dirty, you know, like, for sure. But here's the thing. There's two reasons I would rather have the Heat. The first, revenge, you know, after last year, and a bunch of trash talk that was talked about the Knicks, how we pretty much weren't contenders against the Heat, that we were outmatched, this is the thing. I'm going to give Tibbs credit here, okay? Yeah. Last year, he made some changes and got us to where we got. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that there was Nick culture at all last year. Like, I don't think we had a culture. You know, even when Jalen Brunson had been asked, I think it was either last year or in the start of this year, they were, like, talking about culture, Heat culture. Like, is there Nick culture? He's like, I don't know. You know, like, we play a certain way, you know, but even he couldn't say that we had a culture. But I feel like that culture has developed this year. I feel like Tibbs has developed as a coach. The team has developed a willing to fight nonstop kind of DNA to him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would now be Heat culture versus Knick culture. And I believe this new Knick culture can hand an easy L to Miami in a 7-game series.
Right.
I feel like dirty play can only get them so far. Like, I feel like we can still, you know, match their physicality. We could definitely match their scoring. Mm-hmm. They don't have as many gunners from three as they did last year in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
And our defense is 10 times better. And now we have shooters. But when it comes to the 76ers, bro, all up and down that roster now. Like, this is a deadly team. Like,
right.
We made changes to contend with the idea that Joel Embiid might not be back.
Right.
So he made those changes that needed to be made. They got in the Buddy Hields. You know, they got the Kyle Lowrys, the guys who have that veteran presence, those guys that can score, they can hit a three, they can create off the dribble. And now Embiid is back with a chip on his shoulder. You know, so I feel like for me, they have a lot more to prove, and those guys were able to stay in the running of where they're at with no Joel Embiid for that long in their season.
Right.
But I feel like they would be harder to contend with in a 7-game series. I feel like they have more weapons than the Heat do, and I feel like they would be a harder team, especially with Mitch not being 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, Joel Embiid coming back strong with an attitude, with a presence, I feel like that's going to be, you know, hard to guard in 7 games. And so, I don't know. I would be more afraid of the 76ers than the Heat, but I feel like we can beat either one of them at the end of the day.
Right. I mean, if you look at it in that sense, you're absolutely right. I feel like they would rally around. Now, if you just stepping back and looking at the team, I feel like they would rally around Embiid as much as they could. Yep. Because they are understanding that I don't want this guy to be the next disgruntled star. You know what I mean? Just for Embiid. You know what I mean? Like, now imagine him coming back from the knee injury and they don't even get out of the play-in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that hurts for him. Or imagine him coming back from the knee injury and then they lose in the first round. So that's going to be something that I can see them rallying around Embiid and trying to get him right. So I can see that point of view. I definitely can take that. But, you know, I'm just hoping that if we do end up playing the Sixers, which is something that's a possibility, we'll see. We might not. I hope, and now that you put the fear in my mind, I hope we don't have to play them. But,
here's the thing. haven't seen anything different from Miami this year from last year. Like, there's nothing to me that makes me go, wow, Miami is leaps and bounds better than they were last year. That's why I'd rather have the Heat, because I feel like we are leaps and bounds better than we were last year. Yeah. I feel like the 76ers, like you said, they have a sense of urgency. They made all trades necessary to still be in contention so that Joel Embiid does not leave like predicted by so many analysts over the summer. So this year, I think for Embiid as well, where he's like, if I'm going to be able to do something in this jersey, it's got to be now. Like, so I feel like the organization and him are both in this, now's the time. Is this going to happen kind of mindset? Right. And so I feel like he's going to play like that. Like, he's going to play with the, okay, if I do end up getting moved this season or ask out, I want it to be that no one from Philadelphia can say that I didn't give my all. Right. You know, so like, I came back from injury and still tried to pull this team as far as I could in the playoffs. And fell short because of whatever. So I think he's going to play with a sense of urgency that we're not used to from Joel Embiid.
I definitely can see that. And that's the scary, part, you know, that you had mentioned is, you know, I don't want to see the team that really wants to end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, because this team believes that they can be in the Eastern Conference Finals. They believe that they can be in you know, to get a championship. I think they believe that they can actually win it, especially the emergence of Tyrese Maxey. You get Joel Embiid back. Like you said, you get Buddy Hield, and they start to build around them more, and you take a lot of that pressure off of Tobias Harris to be the scorer, and you know, all the other things, and you can just have him be who he is. Definitely, that's something that you don't want to run into. like you said, I still think we can beat them both. But for sure, I can see wanting Miami as something that, you know, I would rather have, especially the getting them out in the first round after what they did to us last year. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. You know, why not? The rivalry runs deep. Everyone knows it would be beautiful to start the playoffs with a nice rivalry against the Heat, and then to finish the Eastern Conference Finals against another rivalry with the Boston Celtics, and hopefully we can come out on top on that one. And I don't care who you are, if you're sitting here saying, "Oh, Knicks fans are crazy," if you think that you're going to beat the Celtics in the series, listen, man, don't sleep. If I tell you who thinks that they could and thinks that if we slip up, they can actually beat us, the Celtics think that. Yeah. So if that's something that I think that they that's why Joe Mazzulla played those guys. Let's see what we can do against this team, because this might be a matchup. I think that's why he played those guys that game, simply because this might be a team that we see. How can we play him? How can we blitz Jalen Brunson and get the ball out of his hands? And you saw how well it went. So, for sure. I definitely think
that. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to our guy, Bully. Bully's in the chat. Our guy, yo, for y'all who don't know, starting on Wednesday on the Morning Brew Sports channel, we will be doing the Knicks nightcap, bringing it back from last year. Myself, this fine gentleman right here, Mr. Apollo, yes, Bully in the chat. I'm the guy on my hat right here, Mr. Diehard Knicks podcast.
Yes. Eru.
We will be talking all things Knicks, all things lovely spirits, this beautiful juice we call whiskey right here. So Wednesday, 10:30 p.m., Knicks Morning Brew Sports, whatever, YouTube, youtube.com/ Morning Brew Sports. And every Wednesday at 10:30, so that we are late enough to actually be able to, you know, not interrupt your guys' playoff experience. Right. But Wednesday's at 10:30, and I'm pumped to chill with I'm one of them, but three of my favorites in the industry. Like, I wanted it. You know, here's the thing, bro. One thing I hate is I feel like there's way too much opportunity out there, and there's certain people that clinch their platform so tight that everyone else is competition, or everyone else is, you know, stomping on my territory if they do something. Right. I hate that. Like, for me, that's not it. You know, like, if I don't make it, I don't make it. It's not going to be because of somebody else. You know, it's going to be because I wasn't good enough to make it. You know, so for me, I don't care who it is. If it's good content, I want to support it. So for me, coming together with three of my favorites, you, Eru, and my guy Bully from Nick's Twitter, was just the perfect matchup for me, because that's what it's all about for me, is community and hanging out. And so I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, man, I can't wait, man. That once you asked me first a couple months ago, you were like, if I were to start this, would you be a part? I'm like, man, you don't even got to ask me. But, you know, you remember my response, man. I was like, man, hell yeah. So, you know, I mean, I can't wait, man. I have, this will be my first time actually doing something with Bully. I can't wait. He seems like a really, really dope dude. Eru's been my guy since, I don't think people know, like, the start of Garden Knicks, a lot of it wouldn't have happened without Eru. There's a lot of stuff that he helped me with behind the scenes and with certain things that I just didn't understand about content creation in general. And he was always there for me. So me and Eru go back like full flats, man. That's my guy. And he'll always be my brother. That's why you saw us in the chat. I was making a joke with him. That's how we get down all the time, man.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
He came out. We did an event with some of the Morning Brew viewers. Went to the Garden a few weeks ago versus the Pistons, and he came out, bro. And it was just like, you know, we've spent time, you know, but this was one of the probably the second or third time we got to connect like in person, you know. And it was just like it was just like hanging out at a family reunion. Like that guy is just one of those guys that, once you have that relationship with him, it's like, doesn't matter how long it's been, you know, it just clicks, you know? And so we were there and he had already committed to the show. And so I bought a drink and he's like, I want what you got. And I was like, all right. So I ordered him one. He's like, all right, this thing's going to be fun. This show's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, man. Great people. Sure.
It's funny because we actually went to something like that, an event like that before with Sim from Nothing But Knicks. It was 2 years ago with the season opener versus the Celtics.
Okay.
And it was a dope time. It was a dope time. Shout out to them. But when we walked in, it was myself, Andre Jalil, of course, my brother, and Ricky. We walk into the spot. We walk in. As soon as we go upstairs, the first person we see is Eru. And it's the first time we ever met. And he sees him. And he's like, yo. And it's like, we ain't seen him in a long time. Like we knew each other since we was kids. So the love is real, man. Shout out to my guy Eru. He's always been a real one. And this is gonna be something real fun, y'all. I hope y'all can be there every single night. Like you said, 10:30, late enough for y'all to get y'all stuff out the way and just be ready for us. And we'll come with that heat. That's what we do. Yes, that's what we do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, shout out to the rest of the chat. Eddie, what's going on, my man? What's going on? What's going on? Jigga. My guy, you know what I'm saying? Got to have the family in here. Yes, also Toxic, my God. He said clear his throat, no Diddy ear. Yeah, what's going on, my guy Toxic, man? My guy Toxic.
And so, shout out to everybody that's in the chat right now. I know on mine right now on Twitter, there's 33 that are locked in. So y'all that are chilling on X, if you can, please head on over to my guy Apollo's, you know, YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Get his numbers up. He's one of the best in the industry, so do not sleep.
Listen, man, that's high praise coming from one of the best in the industry. So I'll take that, man. I'm very passionate about it. Listen, I'm never gonna be real crazy with it because you know me. I'm very, very humble, but I really, really love and enjoy what I do. Sometimes I don't have a lot of time to do it because, you know, raising kids, family stuff, that stuff like that happens. But at the end of the day, I love the Knicks community, especially when there's no beef. You know what I'm saying? It's real weird. It's really weird sometimes when there's beef. It's odd.
Honestly, you know? I try to ignore all that stuff because, like, for me, I bust my butt on this channel, on this network, da-da-da-da-da. And if I'm barely making money, and this is what I'm doing, you know, like, I know that someone posting a tweet here and there isn't making money either.
Right.
So I'm like, yo, why are we getting that serious? Like, our takes are not that gold,
it's
you know,
that deep. Yeah.
Not that important. So that's one thing, like, my mentors, you know, and my pastors, you know, and my wife tells me all the time is, bro, at the end of the day, you're not that important. And so that's something I keep on telling myself. Facts. So that's how I approach this whole thing, is like my takes, whether they're right or wrong, at the end of the day, not going to be prideful, but you know, they call me the prophet for a reason. You know, sometimes, you know, I got good takes,
Facts.
But sometimes they're off, you know, like at the end of the day, like I can't be that like prideful that I'm going to fight somebody and talk trash about somebody. So it is what it is. You know, I try to keep that moving. I understand sometimes people get a little too personal with it. That's not my thing. But shout out to a few people that hit me up on Twitter. I got my guy, Dat Franco, up in the building. He was like, yo, what's Apollo's Twitter? I want to retweet it. So shout out to him for watching.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Shout out to Izzy in the chat. What's good? God's peace and abundance to Apollo and Phil. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Peace, peace, my guy Izzy. Always, always love. I know Izzy since like grade school, man. That's one of my guys. That's one of my guys, man. I always keep people around me who are real good people, man. I don't keep people around me who are like odd ones. But yeah, man. That's pretty much us. So just to wrap it up, I don't want to keep us too long. It's getting pretty late. I gotta go to work in the morning. I'm sure we got stuff to do. The only thing I do want to talk about is where do you think, okay, realistically, I know we talked about different situations and scenarios. Where do you think the Knicks actually can reach? I never got your definitive answer to what that could be. What do you think the Knicks ceiling is in the playoffs?
Honestly, with OG back, I think we make it to the finals. You know, I feel like winning this second seed has kind of given us a better route to the playoffs. Like, I won't lie. I would have liked the Pacers in the first round, you know. But let's say the Pacers pull off a miracle, you know, and beat the Bucks. You know, like, how crazy would that be for, like, our journey to be the Heat, which is a rival, then – The Pacers, which have been a rival through the years, you know, and then against the Celtics, you know, it would just be like us going through our rivals through the years. But at the end of the day, for me, I thought that the two worst, you know, teams for us to go up against would have been Celtics, Bucks, but then I saw how we played the Bucks, and I'm like, all right, now I'm not even worried about the Bucks.
Not worried about the Bucks,
You know, so for me, I think if we get through this first play-in, I think that's the hardest part of our journey to the Eastern Conference Finals, because I feel like the second round is easier than the first round for us. Right. I feel like, you know, if we get past them, it's either the Bucks or the Celtics, and I mean the Bucks or the Pacers, and I feel like we can beat both of those easier than we could beat the Sixers or Heat, you know? So I think the first round's our biggest challenge out of the first two rounds, and I feel like we can go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and like I said, if we win Eastern Conference Finals, then it's a chip. Like, as much as I love, you know, watching how Denver plays, and I feel like they're going to be the team to beat again, even though OKC is, you know, number one in the West, I still feel like their youth and lack of veteran presence might play a hindrance for them down the line.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the Nuggets will be the team that will be there on the West, unless the Clippers can pull off something crazy, you know, with their current roster. But I feel like if we beat the East, then we're bringing one home. Like, we're bringing it home.
Man, I think it's safe to say that we actually, I mean, we've been talking about it for the past couple months, right? We have an MVP caliber player on our team.
Yep.
That sounds crazy to say, but we do. We do.
Yeah.
I know Becky Hammon didn't think we have a 1A guy.
That's a hard pill for her to swallow.
That's a hard pill for her to swallow. She's never going to be able to live that one down. Yeah. She's never going to be able to live that one down, especially if he goes on and does anything. If he reaches the Eastern Conference Finals, if he reaches the finals without Julius Randle on this roster, she's going to have to make a public apology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She has to, or private. I don't care. She has to say something to the guy and apologize, because her as a small guard, she should understand that that's nothing you should ever do, is sleep on someone who is undersized. Yeah. They're going to do everything to prove you wrong. So, like I said, I think it's safe to say we have an MVP caliber player on this roster. And personally, I think, you know, once we heard that Julius Randle wasn't going to come back, you know, a lot of people said it's over. What you expect? He's an All-NBA player. Was it 3-time All-Star at this point?
Yep.
So, I mean, I understand. I understand the panic. But I'm not going to take anything away from Julius Randle because I still want Julius Randle to get back and to be healthy. But I, more than Julius Randle, I wanted to see OG Anunoby healthy. That's what I really wanted to see because I feel like we didn't have that guy to throw at anyone last year. We didn't have that guy to throw at Jimmy Butler. I mean, you got Josh Hart, but, you know, he's 6'4". You know what I mean? At the end of the day, he might get to a – he can't guard everybody by himself. And I think adding OG Anunoby and Dante DiVincenzo, let's not talk – I remember signing Dante DiVincenzo, and there's a lot of people who actually said that these other teams are making championship-contending moves, and we're going out and signing Dante DiVincenzo. And, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you say that? Has he proven to you that he could actually be what he is right now yet? No. So, of course, you're going to say that. And it's obvious that, you know, you were clearly overreacting about that, which is okay, because if other teams are signing stars and we signed Dante DiVincenzo, I completely understand why you would have that reaction. But I think this team saw something when they signed this guy. They saw something when they were trying to get OG since last year. They've been trying to get OG Anunoby since last year. This is not nothing. That's not. This is not a new move. They knew he was a fit for this roster almost a year prior to him being here. So you add those kind of guys in there to help Josh Hart, and you throw in Mitch. You still got Mitch in there. You're giving Isaiah Hartenstein the confidence to hit those shots in the paint when he's, you know, when you double on Brunson, which we're going to see a lot of that in the playoffs. And I'm glad that every team that could threw a double team at Brunson, because now we got to see it a lot. And Brunson knows exactly what to do when that happens. You know what I mean? So ceiling, I do see us getting into the finals. I don't know what happens there. I don't know. But like you said, if it's OKC, once the game slows down a little bit, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. I think Denver, I think the only thing they do have is size because of Jokic. Yep. Other than that, I think we're okay. I feel like I think we'll be okay. You know what I mean? And it's just the matchups of having defense, like they say, defense wins championships at the end of the day. They're going to try to attack Brunson. They tried to do it last year. So I get it. You know what I mean? This is the playoffs. You're going to see that. But the game slows down. It's about what's in the half court. The fast breaks don't really happen as often as you would think so. So you're going to have to really work and coach through a lot of this. And a lot of coaches don't have it in the playoffs. And Tom Thibodeau is something, is a coach that I think he can, in this situation with the team he's been given, I think he has it locked down. I think there's a style of play that this team, like you said, a culture that this team has now that they didn't have before and that a lot of other teams don't have. So I think the ceiling is a championship with this team. I would like to see us fully healthy, but I see this is definitely one of those sleeper championship teams, you know, kind of like the 04 Pistons, you know what I mean? Yeah. And these guys just come night and night out and do exactly what they're supposed to do. They're going to try to take the ball out of Brunson's hands and make these other guys score. But cool. I think that these guys really have gotten to a point where they're not worried about that anymore.
Yeah.
They've been giving these guys the confidence. Like you said, he drops it down to either Josh Hart or Isaiah Hartenstein. And once they get into that paint, they're not going to just throw up anything. They're going to find the right play to make. And that's what you have in this roster. And that's part of the culture. You have a bunch of guys who know how to make the right play. So
And here's the thing, man, is I've given Tibbs flowers. I've given Tibbs coal, you know, when he deserves whichever one he's deserved, right. You know, right now, I feel like he deserves flowers, you know, like this is the thing. Going into the playoffs last year, I felt like he wasn't ready. He got outcoached, in my opinion, you know, in many scenarios.
Yeah.
But even in the beginning half of the season, I was like, man, he makes good adjustments from game to game, but I need you to be an in-game changing coach. Right. I need you to make those kind of changes, and you're not. Well, the old dog freaking learned new tricks. Like,
he did.
This guy in the second half of the season has really impressed me. You know, like, at the end of the day, it was a choice. Yes, Mitchell Robinson was, you know, out, but he went with Precious Achiuwa in those last necessary minutes over Isaiah Hartenstein. And someone could have been like, what is he doing? You know, like, Precious hasn't, you know, been, you know, getting the minutes that him and Mitch have been bouncing off in these games, you know, in this game. Yet Precious Achiuwa was the game changer.
Right.
From his defense to his offense, he was the game changer.
Right.
Like, so that was a Tibbs call. So you got to give that credit. Then moving on, you know, Julius Randle, I hate that he's not here. Like, I really do, you know, like, shout out to Jew for, you know, wanting to come back and all that. I appreciate his determination and willingness. I think the sad part is, I don't know if we ever see Jew in a Knick jersey again, depending on where things go, you know, in the postseason
and
into the summer. You know, there's a possibility that he might have played his last game as a Knick. And at the same time, it's like, as much as I wanted Jew to have that opportunity to come back in the playoffs, we don't know what that would have fully looked like. You know, we saw changes start happening, you know, in that roster with iHeart and with, you know, McBride and with OG and all this stuff kind of clicking different, you know, when Randle wasn't in the roster, you know, so we don't necessarily know how smooth that would have went. You know, the offense might not have moved the way that it moves right now. You know, the defense might not be clicking the way that it's clicking right now. So it's a catch 22, you know, but at the end of the day, like, as much as I, you know, hate that Randle doesn't get this opportunity, I'm also thankful that, like, we know what we're getting going into the playoffs. You know, we have something that's been at least tested for 23 games with this roster. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, like my guy Bully said, listen, if they're picking two guards from the East, I don't see how Jalen Brunson or two guards or whatever for all NBA. I don't know how Jalen Brunson's not considered for that spot.
Facts.
Like, at the end of the day, you have announcers going from, I don't think he's a 1A kind of player, to Jalen Brunson could be the best player in the East this year. You know, like, that is a very big difference in the song that you're singing, you know? Facts. And so, for me, he's got to be in consideration for it. Like, what is it? Two guards that get it in all NBA? And if it's two guards, SGA, Jalen Brunson. Like, at the end of the day, you don't need to consider Luka Doncic a guard. You know, you can consider him, you know, another position since he plays multiple positions.
Right, right. But
you cannot tell me Jalen Brunson does not at least deserve to be in the conversation when people are saying he deserves to be in the MVP conversation, you know?
There you go. So
at the end of the day, I'm thankful for what we got there. Shout out to the front office, because a lot of times it felt like we weren't playing the game.
Right.
And it kind of just shows that, hey, we missed something, you know, while we wanted to play checkers and have you king me, you know, these guys were playing chess, you know, and they went and got players that, you know, each signing, you know, like with the Josh Hart signing, like, I remember doing a video about, like, this is the heart, you know, work and determination we need. And then saying that we needed to sign him back. Half the fan base thought I was an idiot for wanting to sign him, you know, back. And then half the fan base thought I was a genius for wanting to bring him back.
Right.
Dante DiVincenzo, I said that this kid is going to be a great piece for us. Mm-hmm. People were like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? He's never proven anything. Well, the front office saw something, you know, and I'm someone who's watched DiVincenzo through the years, you know, because I felt like he could be something.
Absolutely.
But they had that. You look at every player on this team. They became their best version of an NBA player in a Knick jersey. Like, that's crazy. A lot of teams draft. I mean, don't draft that player. They trade for that player, you know, who's already something. Buddy Hield, he's already the best version of him. Now he's in a Sixers uniform. You know, most of these players are the best version of them when a team fights for them.
Right.
We fought for Jalen Brunson. He's the best he's ever been. Now, we fought for Julius Randle, brought him in, the best version of Julius Randle in a Knick uniform. The best version we've seen of the journeyman, Josh Hart, is in a Knick uniform.
Yeah.
The best version of Isaiah Hartenstein being the backup with a few minutes of play to I could start on mostly any team was in a Knick uniform.
Facts.
Precious Achiuwa, best version of him in a Knick uniform.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
OG, same thing. Like, this is a common denominator that this year, this organization has brought out the best in every single player that other teams were willing to let go and not believe in. So
you gotta love it. Crazy. You gotta love it. You gotta love it, man. And it's, you know, you gotta give the front office credit. I know they got a bad rep for a long time, man. And honestly, they got a bad rep all the way up until last summer. It wasn't until the fans saw this team play this year that they said, maybe the front office was on to something.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It wasn't until they upset fans by trading away RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley until the fans said, maybe they're on to something. You know what I mean? I saw someone made a post yesterday said, how far would this team be without making that trade for OG Anunoby? And I'm like,
I don't think very far.
I mean, maybe a fifth, a sixth, seventh seed, yep. Maybe.
As good as RJ and IQ have been individually going to the Raptors, it has not led to winning.
Right.
It's led to better performances from them and better stats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no winning, you know, like you got RJ Barrett playing some of his best games, all L's for the team, you know? So for me, it was genius. It was the perfect fit.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it. I'm a huge OG fan. I went from being a fan of his to a super fan of his in that game where he straight up said, ain't no one pushing my guard.
Man, you know,
that jump was perfect.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. That's the energy I respect. As a Knick fan, I will always respect that kind of energy. Yeah. There's no way you're gonna put someone on my team who's gonna fight for anything. And it probably wasn't even on purpose.
Yeah.
He still pressed them. Like, let me just make sure that, you know what I mean? Like, everything's straight here. Cause you know what I mean? You didn't have to do that.
And then when the other players stood up and like tried to check him, he just kind of chuckled, you know, like there was no fear in OG. Yeah. OG was like, yo, this is funny. You serious? You think this is gonna happen? Like, I love that.
Yeah, you love that. And Fred VanVleet, they were talking about it earlier during the broadcast that Fred VanVleet said that he plays multiple positions. He guards 1 through 5. You'll see his true value in the playoffs. And that's what I'm looking forward to. That's like, that's why I said, I know Julius Randle was out, but I want to see OG. That's what I want to see. I want to see OG back in the Knicks uniform because of what he's supposed to bring, why we brought him here.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think more than anything, isn't this a contract year for him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure is. He's getting that money.
He's going to go get his money. Let's be honest. He's going to go get his money, man. So, I think he's going to try to prove it. I wouldn't be surprised if we're in a few weeks, we're talking about this team being in contention for a championship because a lot of these guys are, this team is built on prove it guys.
Yep.
You know, not guys who feel like they've earned anything.
Yep.
Every last guy in this rotation wants to prove it. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what down to Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride, you know what I mean? And all of these guys want to prove it, man. Just looking at a graphic from earlier that they put on the screen, the most 30-point 10 assist games, Jalen Brunson has 6.
Yeah,
that's first in the NBA. 30-point games, he has 36. He's tied for first. 40-point games, he has 11. He's tied for second. Total points, 2,212 points, he's third. Points per game, 28.7, he's third. 3 points made, he's fifth. Dante DiVincenzo is higher than him. I think he's like third or fourth, which is crazy. You got two of those guys in the team. But there's no way that this guy is not all NBA first team. There's no way that this guy is not an MVP caliber player.
So another stat, okay? I don't remember where it was, but someone posted about like threes made and like attempted and like points or whatever. Mm-hmm. For the percentage and stuff like that, there was only two players that had those numbers. Uh-huh. One of them was Steph, and then one of them was Jaylen. Like, crazy. That's the list. And then someone else posted, shout out to Nick's Muse, only three players in NBA history have averaged 28-plus points per game, 6-plus assists per game, 40% from three while playing 77 or more games in the NBA. Mm. And the first one was Larry Bird in 1985 when he won the MVP. Steph Curry in 2016 when he won the MVP, and Jalen Brunson this year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying that he is by far the MVP of the season.
Yep.
But to me, he's the MVP of the season. You know what I mean? That's just personally facts. When you talk about value of a team. We were talking about it the other day. I was talking on Twitter the other day, and some guy said, well, yeah, talk about, someone posted a bunch of different numbers, and then someone came and said, yeah, well, point out the games won next to him. And I'm like, first of all, Jalen Brunson has this team at that point. It was third in the Eastern Conference without Julius Randle there. Third. And all of this other stuff that he's doing, you're telling me that for him to not have an all-star, all-NBA player next to him, for him to still have this team in the third round, in the third spot in the Eastern Conference, right behind the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks, that he's not an MVP caliber player? Like, how does that even make sense?
So I'll end on this. The stat that I was telling you about, I found it. Mm-hmm. Players in NBA history to average in a season 28.7 points per game, mm-hmm. 6.7 assists per game, 47.9% from the field, and 40% from three. The only two players to be able to reach those numbers in an NBA season are Steph Curry and now Jalen Brunson. Steph Curry in 2015, 2016, and Jalen Brunson this year. That's crazy. So
that's insane.
That's
man.
My final take. That's my final that's take. It's Brunson over everything.
It's Brunson over everything. And I've been saying for the past couple weeks, I'm like, this feels a lot like Steph's ascension. Like this is what the feeling, the vibe is. It gives me the vibe is when Steph was getting to that level where people are like, whoa, hold on, this guy is a generational talent. And that's a conversation we're going to have to be having about Jalen Brunson soon. Is he a generational talent? You know what I mean? And I'm ready for that conversation when it's here, but that won't be tonight because we're going to wrap it up here.
I want to give two shout outs real quick if I can.
Ahead. Go ahead.
So first, actually three. So there's a company called Jack Abrams, and we're going to be doing a giveaway with them. They got these really cool, like blue and orange Nick backpacks, like the quality of like Herschel and companies like that. But they aim at like team colors. And so I collaborated with them on something for their Knicks backpack that they did. They did a photo shoot with Archie Diacono, but unfortunately he got traded. So like, you know, sorry, Ryan, but dope backpack nonetheless. And then there's a company, they're a newer brand, but they just came out with this freaking fire Jalen Brunson shirt. They're called Offline Natives on Instagram. They got this really, really dope Jalen Brunson as like a skeleton with the city on fire, and he's, you know, plopping one of these. Really, really dope shirt. And then the last one, Morning Brew Sports. They'll be live tomorrow with Alex from Knicks Fan TV. I won't be able to be on tomorrow's episode, but we're going to start a giveaway for one of those backpacks. And also, we're going to start a discount for our Jalen Brunson All-Star shirts and sweaters so that as many people as possible can be rocking those. We do not care about the profit on that design. We just want everywhere you go in the playoffs, people to be repping that Jalen Brunson shirt. And so Wednesday, I'll be back on the show, and Ian Begley will be joining us, which we're really, really looking forward to. And then Wednesday night, we kick off that nightcap. So yes, I'm excited for that, man. I can't wait. Do.
Shout out to you, man. You guys been on a roll. I'm really, really proud of you guys. Like, just to see the ascension of you guys doing. Let's talk about Jalen Brunson's ascension. But listen, man, I'm just proud of you guys, and I'm glad to be a part of anything that you guys got going on. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday, man. It's going to be fun. It's gonna be fun. And let's shout out to our Knicks. Thank you for a wonderful season, 50 win season, and getting us to the second seed. And let's get you some rest. Saturday, we'll see you back against either Miami or the Sixers. Until next time, man, y'all have a good one. Shout out to the chat. If you're here, like and subscribe. Thank y'all for tuning in once again. Peace.